Hi, I'm Siobhan Sarna, and I am the founder of Chronic Condition Rescue, and that is Petunia Jubilee DeRocher Sarna, the kitty who loves to be in on these. I'm very glad that you found us today, and you made your own luck because we are going to be learning about the microbiome heart health matrix, which is so like final frontier business. Like, people don't know about this. And so, as usual, I'm bringing you the cutting edge information from the good folks at Microbiome Labs, along with, our ozone friends and the red light friends and all that. So it's a pleasure to have you here. I want to make sure you have the empowered information to make the next decision for yourself. This isn't a replacement for medical advice, but it's great education that you can actually go and help your patients, because I know we have a lot of practitioners and patients. Help your practitioners with a humble attitude and love in your heart. Let's educate the world together. So this is Maureen Pickle. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
Hi, it's good to have you here. Maureen does a lot of education for Microbiome Labs, and she ha is a very experienced, here you go for the alphabet soup, we call it behind the scenes, NCCPA, a certified physician assistant, and she combines conventional medicine with nutritional and functional medicine, which is, like, to me, the trifecta. That's the best. She has a master's degree in public health from the University of Michigan. Okay, that's badass. That's awesome, Maureen. And a physician assistant degree, along with 20 years of clinical experience. So you're in really good hands. And I'm going to hand things over to her. I'm going to hide my screen or my camera, and I'm not going anywhere, just so you know. I will be here. I'll be monitoring the Q&A, and in a little while, we'll put some links into the chat. But if you have been concerned about heart attack, stroke, cholesterol, clogged arteries, ED, erectile issues, this is definitely something that I want you to learn about for yourself, and then also teach your friends. Okay, come on in, Maureen. Thank you.
Yeah. So as Siobhan mentioned, my name is Maureen, and today we will be talking about practical applications for optimizing our own cardiovascular health. Because as we have all learned, our cardiovascular health is just one of many components that are really intricately linked, including our hormonal health and our digestive health. And so, for all of us, this is really something that we absolutely have to be paying attention to. We know cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, with over 660,000 people dying every year due to cardiovascular disease, which is about one in every four deaths currently. And our heart is what I like to think of as the engine in our transportation system. The purpose is to pump blood through our vessels and transport nutrients and oxygen to every cell in the body. The heart is a muscle, and so it needs a constant supply of fuel for energy. And without proper care, nutrients, and exercise over the course of time, the greater demand on the heart and the greater risk for disease. So cardiovascular disease actually refers to several different types of heart conditions, including CAD, which we know is coronary heart disease, which is a disease of blood vessels supplying the heart muscles, which can result in heart attack or heart failure. We know of cerebrovascular disease, which is a disease of blood vessels supplying the brain, resulting in conditions like stroke. There's DVTs you've probably heard of, or PEs, pulmonary embolisms, which can result in blood clots that move from leg veins and can dislodge and move to the heart or lungs. And then we have peripheral artery disease, which is a disease of blood vessels supplying our extremities, typically legs, when they don't receive enough blood flow to keep up with demand. And lastly, congenital heart disease, which we think of more being related to birth defects that affect normal development and functioning of the heart structure. So the most common form of cardiovascular disease in the US is caused by atherosclerosis, causing coronary heart disease. And atherosclerosis is when plaque builds up in the walls of the arteries, leading to these narrowing of the arteries, making it harder for blood to flow. And that's when a clot can dislodge or cause an occlusion in the artery, leading to a heart attack. Now, most of cardiovascular risk is lifestyle related, which is good news for us because it means that there's modifiable things that we can do to reduce our risk. To note, hypertension often goes undiagnosed or dismissed. We all know how scary it is going to a doctor and being afraid that they're going to tell us our blood pressure is high. And so it's helpful to make sure that we're not dismissing a recurring high elevated blood pressure when our doctor's office or provider's office, and making sure that we're being mindful of if that level has been escalating over the years. Our cholesterol levels include our LDL cholesterol, which we think of as the bad cholesterol, and that too much of the LDL cholesterol in our blood, combined with other substances, can make it stick to the wall of our arteries, forming plaque. We also have elevated triglycerides, which we often see with diabetes and obesity. And nicotine raises blood pressure, along with the carbon monoxide from cigarette smoke, reduces the amount of oxygen that our blood can carry. Smokers have 2 to 3 times higher risk for heart attack, but because of its reduction on our LDL, or our HDL rather, and it causes platelets to become more sticky. It's no surprise that physical activity is really important. Studies have shown being physically inactive at the lowest level puts you at higher heart risk than many, many other things that have been studied. Type 2 diabetes plays a role along with our body weight. And additionally, poor sleep, unmanaged stress, alcohol intake, and poor dietary intake all play a role. It's helpful to think about our options to consider and measure our own heart disease risk. Sometimes seeing a number in a heart disease calculator helps drive this point home for you personally. Those risk factors we just talked about, we know that having at least one of those risk factors doubles our risk for heart disease, whereas two of those risk factors quadruples the risk. And so I included for you the American College of Cardiology Risk Estimator, which you can use to access a calculation tool that will calculate your own risk at home for free. This is what it looks like when you go on the website. And if you've never calculated your own risk, I think it's a great idea. Sometimes seeing the results of the carotid ultrasound or a risk calculation helps motivate us to intervene. And so, although we know there's a wide variation in trends across the country, 2016 studies have shown that Americans get approximately 58% of their calories from ultra-processed foods. And when we think about the standard American diet, it primarily consists of foods on the inside of the grocery store, the prepackaged foods, refined grains, processed meats, red meat intake perhaps more than twice a week, fried foods or foods high in sugar, and really low in key nutrients that are linked to better cardiovascular and overall health. So we think of fiber, calcium, vitamin D and K2, and omega-3s to speak of. So what does it mean to think about key nutrients that are improving our heart health? There's nutrients that are generally missing from our standard diet, and there's therapeutic strategies that we can employ to help benefit our own cardiovascular risk. To start, we think of fiber, and fiber can be confusing. We know prebiotics are a food source for beneficial bacteria, but not all fiber is considered prebiotic. Dietary fiber either dissolves in water or gastrointestinal fluids and is fermented by gut bacteria, which we call soluble fiber. Or it remains solid throughout the digestion process, and we refer to that as insoluble fiber. So soluble fiber is what helps slow down our digestion and controls cholesterol and blood sugar levels. And we get soluble fiber in things like oats, barley, beans, chia seeds, apples, citrus, psyllium husk, sweet potatoes, and avocados. And prebiotic fibers are really important because they produce these short-chain fatty acids that are extremely important for healthy metabolism, gut barrier function, and body composition. And as we'll talk about how they relate to cardiovascular health. So If you're unaware, most Americans get about 14 to 15 grams of fiber a day, where our goal should be closer to 35 to 40. In fact, we know that when we get more fiber, our cardiovascular risk and all sorts of other functions in our body generally are more favorable with that increased intake. And the prebiotic fibers that we're talking about include things like resistant starches, inulin, beta glucans, fructooligosaccharides, which you can see a variety of sources that we can get from our food, along with the bacteria that are important who help ferment those. Another vitamin that I'd like to talk about is vitamin D3. And we all know that vitamin D3 can be found in foods like salmon and egg yolk. However, it's important to consider that vitamin D is a pro-hormone and a fat-soluble vitamin that plays many roles in our overall health as it relates to cardiovascular health. We think about its role with regulating insulin secretion and glucose tolerance. Additionally, vitamin D exerts protective effects on our endothelial function, which means that it helps reduce this calcium influx into the endothelial cells. But it also helps with these pro-inflammatory cytokines that we want to reduce in the body. And so, if you've heard of vitamin D recommendations, or maybe you've discussed this with your providers, you know that ideally we want to get somewhere over 80, between somewhere around 80, 60 to 80 is the gold standard for our vitamin D3 levels when we measure them. Causes of vitamin D deficiency are varied and can include things like environmental conditions, maybe limited sun exposure. As we age, we have less production of vitamin D in our skin. Medications, along with poor nutrient intake, obviously are all contributing factors. Next, vitamin K is so important, and it's really helpful to understand the distinction that there's different types of vitamin K. Vitamin K1, comes from leafy greens like kale, collards, and bok choy, whereas vitamin K2 has very different functions in the body that we don't talk about as much as they relate to our cardiovascular protection. And it's really important to note that K2 is only produced through bacterial fermentation. And so that's why we'll be focusing primarily on the role of K2 today. Sources for vitamin K2, as I mentioned, are produced through bacterial fermentation, and they can be found in animal tissue like liver, grass-fed beef, butter, and eggs. But they can also be found in fermented foods, cheeses and vegetables. Natto is a fermented soybean, which you can see featured in this photo. We know that vitamin K2 is really important for our cardiovascular health. Why? Because K2 has this role with our arteries that is different than the role we think of traditionally as vitamin K1 being associated with our clotting factors. So, K2 helps activate this matrix GLA protein in our vasculature. And there's research that shows that matrix GLA protein is dependent on K2 and its ability to help with arterial stiffness, which is extremely important for everyone, but particularly as we age when our arteries become stiffer. So, some causes of vitamin 2K deficiency, certainly not all of us are getting this in our diet, but we know that medications also play a role in our ability to maintain that K2 in our body. And then we're all familiar with the importance of omega fatty acids. We have to obtain these through our diet. They're essential. There's different forms of omegas, including EPA, DPA, and DHA. However, most Americans are still getting more omega-6s, which are actually associated with increased inflammation, rather than the omega-3s, which help reduce inflammation in our body. So, despite the fact that we are all pretty familiar with the omega-3s, it's always helpful to remind ourselves where we can get sources of them from our diet, like fatty fish and healthy seafood, flaxseed, chia seeds, hemp seeds, and walnuts. So we know omega-3 plays this role in our cardiovascular disease by possessing an anti-inflammatory and antithrombotic property, which means it helps with reduction of that clot formation in our vasculature. It helps with plaque formation, leading to atherosclerosis. It also helps lower our total cholesterol and our triglyceride concentrations. So when you do your cholesterol panel with your provider, you may see that high omegas in your diet are reflecting with a better healthy cholesterol, that better HDL, while a favorable inhibition of the triglycerides and LDL that we want to reduce. And the one thing I'd also like to note is that this production of the specialized pre-resolving mediators, or sometimes you've heard them called SPMs, are also something that omega-3s are responsible for. So we know omega-3s are important for this inflammatory response in the body. And when we think about what are some strategies we can do to reduce our risk factors for cardiovascular disease, we can think back to these modifiable risk factors we talked about at the beginning, thinking about healthy dietary changes that favor healthy fishes, our flax seeds and our chia seeds and our healthy nuts, along with physical activity, aiming for at least 30 minutes, 5 times a week. Some recommendations say, at least 150 minutes throughout the week and whatever distribution you can manage in your schedule. We know that's so important for lowering our LDLs, controlling our blood pressure, and maintaining our weight, along with managing our blood sugar. There's also recent research you probably have heard about the role of regulating our blood sugar and our cardiovascular health by intermittent movement throughout the day. And we actually know that even doing just 10 squats every 45 to 60 minutes really improves with that glucose utilization, which in result helps with our cardiovascular health. Also thinking about replenishing these nutrients that we just talked about. So some of the ones that I'd like to mention today include the MegaQuinn D. Microbiome Labs makes a MegaQuinn D product that's ethically sourced, but it also includes that vitamin K2 because we know that our body functions a lot better when D3 and K2 are taken together. The MegaQuinn Gold is widely considered the gold standard for vitamin K2, and we really appreciate this product because it's highest in stability. And so that means that if it sits in your cabinet, that it's going to be more available for your body to utilize when you do take it. And it's interestingly produced by fermented chickpeas. And for patients that are avoiding soy, one benefit is that the product is soy-free. When we think about Mega Marine, we know this is a great source of the omega-3s that we talked about. I like to use 2 capsules a day, which give us 1.5 grams of those omegas that we talked about. Microbiome Labs makes a Mega Marine product, which is free from environmental contaminants, including heavy metals that have been tested, along with 14 or 400 other contaminants that are tested in the process. And I know we only touched on briefly, but those inflammatory, those SPMs that we talked about are also included in the Mega Marine product. Mega Pre is the first precision probiotic supplement that's made up of clinically tested non-digestible oligosaccharides, which are one of those types of those prebiotic fibers we talked about earlier. One of the benefits of prebiotic fibers is that they increase the microbial diversity and selectively feed beneficial species of healthy bacteria in our gut. And the reason that's so important is that they reinforce the beneficial microbial changes that are created from products like our Megaspore Biotic that have probiotics in them to help promote strong and diverse microbiome. In fact, none of the probiotics that we consume really can function without having those prebiotics already in our system. And so these are really essential to constantly incorporate in our routine. And so one of the ways that you can do them is either through the Mega Pre capsules or Mega Pre powders or stick packs that you can use. If you go back to that list of the soluble fibers, some of those foods are hard to be consistent with every day. And if we think about our fiber recommendations of 40 grams of fiber a day, if you've ever tracked your fiber on a program like MyFitnessPal or Chronometer, you know that it's challenging, even if you're eating vegetables all day long, to get 40 grams of fiber in a day. And so having a powdered source or a capsule source like the Mega Pre product, I find to be really critical to making sure that I'm consistent every day, because I want something that even if I'm busy or my routine is off or I'm traveling, that I can have something that I can take on the go to make sure I'm getting my prebiotics every day. And so I'd also like to talk about the Megaspore Biotic, because although we didn't talk as much about the bacterial role in the digestive process, the essential piece of the healthy spore biotics are that they lower inflammation of the lipopolysaccharides that our body produces during the digestive process by over 42% in patients that have been taking them for 30 days in a row. In addition, the primary benefit of the Megaspore Biotic is that it's increasing that microbial diversity, which, when we think about microbial diversity in our digestive microbiome, we know that this is associated with improved outcomes across the board. It increases our short chain fatty acid production by at least 80 to 140%, and it lowers that blood triglyceride level we talked about in research studies. Additionally, it helps with these inflammatory markers, which we know are consistently also associated with our cardiovascular risk. And Microbiome Labs Megaspore Biotic is really unique because it's 100% spore-based, in addition to having five strains of Bacillus bacteria, and it doesn't require refrigeration. It's intended to survive in the digestive tract, and so it's not only shelf stable, but it's digestive system stable, which means we know that it can handle the acidity and the changes of temperature when we take it and consume it. And we have lots of research supporting the Megaspore Biotic product. It's supported by over seven peer-reviewed studies, and we continue to research its benefits. In the future. So why do we talk about both the Megaspore Biotic and the Mega Pre today? We know that there's been research on 90 days of supplementation with that prebiotic taken with the probiotic together. And we found that that resulted in 35% reduction of visceral adiposity tissue in the absence of weight loss, which we know is associated with that reduction of
Wait a
inflammation.
minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Say that again. Did you just talk about belly fat? Say
We just talked about belly
it
fat.
again. Like,
So
say it
that
again.
visceral adiposity is the fat
Belly fat.
that surrounds our organs and our abdomen. And that's the real important types of fats that we pay attention to when we think about our cardiovascular risk and our risk across the board for really life-changing events like stroke and heart attack. So anything that can reduce our inflammation and our risk for chronic disease, specifically cardiovascular disease, is something we want to take note of and pay attention to. So, in summary, we know cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death across all demographics, and most cardiovascular risk is associated with those lifestyle factors. We know that dysbiosis and gut barrier integrity results in these microbial metabolites that increase our cardiovascular risk. We know that the standard American diet is very low in fiber, especially our prebiotic fibers. And we want to think of creative ways to be consistent with making sure that we're getting that 35 to 40 grams every single day because of its role in reducing our cardiovascular risk, but also improving our gut heart access via that short chain fatty acid production. We know that low dietary intake of calcium has been directly correlated with increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease. And we know that paying attention to our vitamin D3 and K2 together helps with optimal absorption of other nutrients and utilization in our body. Specifically, that vitamin D3 has these cardioprotective effects we talked about relating to our blood pressure regulation and decreasing our inflammation. And K2 is really dynamic and so important to talk about because of its ability not only to help with other nutrient utilization, but also to help with that vascular benefit that we mentioned. And omega-3 fatty acids help with not only lowering the triglycerides, but also supporting that inflammatory response to help with our cardiovascular risk. And so, a brief overview of a cardiovascular disease support protocol that I like to follow myself, knowing that I have a family risk history of cardiovascular disease, as most of us do. If we look at our primary family members, almost all of us can think of someone in the family that has had a cardiovascular risk that we're thinking of. And so I like to include vitamin D3 and K2 daily in my routine. And so I use the Megaquin D3 product with one capsule a day, along with a consistent use of omega-3s and capsules. I love salmon and I love to eat fish, but I don't eat it every day. It's challenging to incorporate that daily in your routine. And so, one consistent way that I make sure I get my omegas every day is to get my Mega Marine, and I do two capsules a day for that. I'm also really consistent with my Megaspore Biotic, and you can start with just half a capsule, or I should say one capsule a day, half a dose, but work up to two capsules a day. And then that Mega Pre Precision prebiotic we talked about really is so key for helping with your fiber goals. And so you can work up to one scoop a day if you're using the powder, or one stick pack, or six capsules if you choose the capsules. I personally love to encourage hydration, and so I love the stick pack. It has a great flavor and it just helps me stay consistent with hydrating throughout the day, which I'm not always so good at. So I am so grateful that all of you have joined us to talk about cardiovascular risk. And I included a list of some references of all the research that we talked about. It was extensive, but I'm so grateful for your attention.
Great job, Maureen. Everybody, let's put some love into the chat. Let's come full screen with your gorgeous face, Maureen. Loved that. So when I was a baby, my father had a heart attack. And I have pictures of me in the hospital bed with my dad. And I'm like a little baby infant, and my 2, 8 years and 9 years older sister are there. And I remember the stories of my mother, like talking about how people were wondering in the hospital if she was my grandmother because she looked so haggard and so stressed. As you can imagine, she had this baby. My father was 69 when I was born, so he was definitely an older, a geriatric dad, and my mom was 30 years younger than he was. So the fact is that it's not just about an older parent, right? So it's about all of us. And if anyone, by the way, is of Indian descent, like I am, half Indian, half Irish, all American, there's some really interesting videos on YouTube about how Southeast Asian men are dropping dead in their 50s. Skinny arms, skinny legs, belly. And that was my dad. And my sisters and I have a tendency towards that. And so, I've learned so much more now about cardiovascular health because I never really thought about it. I was a little kid, right? And then he died when I was 13. So he hung in there with me. Like, I feel like I went and prayed and said, God, could you please make dad stay at least until I was like a young woman, like bat mitzvah time, even though I'm not Jewish. Like, and he did. And I'm so, so very grateful for that. But it's something that I want you all to be aware of. And I don't think that there's any information really that's common about like Southeast Asian descent, that and it is actually an issue with metabolic disorder as well. Okay, that being said, here's the situation, and we're going to get to your questions. They're all so good. If you will go into the chat, you will see the link that is our exclusive link to get you 15% off on all of Microbiome Labs products, including what we just talked about, Megaspore, including the vaginal microbiome test, as well as the gut microbiome test. So there's a whole bunch of good things in there. And we have that 15% off for you with code NOBLOAT15, and you have to register patient direct SIBO SOS. So that's all in the chat. One other thing is, I'm going to get to those great questions you have. Okay. Let's go ahead and get to your questions, and please put them in the Q&A box. And can the test be used by peeps in the UK? Maureen, do you know
Which test are we talking about?
the
Biome FX test?
microbiome biomefx?
I think as long as it makes it back to the shipping address, but I'm not entirely sure of the access,
Okay,
in the UK.
so you do you know the customer service? Jenny's saying not yet.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Jenny knows things. The other thing that I wanted to say is that if because we just had some confusion with the lovely lady, she thought that I was going to interpret her stool test if she bought it at Microbiome Labs. And no, I will not be interpreting your stool test. That is for you to take to your practitioner. But it's super cool to go to a practitioner appointment with your stool test in hand because it just speeds up a lot of the interpretation time. And of course, find out if that practitioner is, appropriate to be interpreting that test. Don't take it to your dentist. They're not going to know. Okay, let's go with these questions. But I did take the vaginal microbiome test to my OBGYN, and she was like very impressed.
Yeah, and actually there are dentists now that are interested in the microbiome test because
Well,
of our oral microbiome.
oh heck yeah. I don't know if they're going to be, you know what? You're so right. Stool and the oral microbiome, not to be gross, but it's all connected. All right. Here we go. Janet. Hey, Janet. How can a person find out where CTAFFRCT imaging is available? Fairly new 3D CAT imaging, which shows both calcified and flexible calcium blood flow and better images of blockages. Very cool. Is there any vitamin available that prevents plaque rupture breakoff? Well, first of all, about those tests, I don't know. I don't know if Maureen knows, but that would be a Google search, honestly. The manufacturer of those machines will have a directory of where they're located. Is there any vitamin available that prevents plaque rupture and breakoff?
So really the goal is to prevent the plaque formation in the first place. And one of the things that our body should do is to be able to circulate that plaque in a way that it can get eliminated through our stool. So that's one of the benefits of why physical activity is so helpful because it acts like a massage for our vascular system where it's massaging the vessels every time our muscles move and it's helping to circulate that through the bloodstream. And then it eventually, hopefully, the plaque gets broken up or cholesterol can get eliminated through the digestive system. But really, the goal is to prevent the plaque formation before it gets distributed in the arteries and kind of sticks there.
Leonie, you are looking for the repeat of the risk calculator info. You are getting a replay of this tonight, so you can look at it there. But
We can also go to the American College of Cardiology's website, and you can just look up American College of Cardiology Risk Calculator. And I love to use that tool for my own risk and patients' risks to just look at. It just requires a few basic numbers. If you've done a lipid panel with your provider, you probably have everything you need to answer it.
Janet's saying, I already have moderate plaque. That's why I asked about vitamin to prevent rupture.
Yeah, I think most of us can assume that we do have plaque, and sometimes it's helpful to see it in a carotid ultrasound. And sometimes we can just say, knowing we've all lived on this earth and had a variety of diets over the years, we're all sort of acting in the assumption that we are all at a certain level of risk that we'd like to lower. So really the best thing we can do is slow that progression of the atherosclerosis in the future.
Okay. Can you please elaborate on the role of statins in vitamin K2 deficiency?
Yeah, so this is such an interesting relationship, but essentially what we found is that statins, along with other medications, actually interfere with our body's ability to digest vitamin K2. For most of us, we're not getting enough K2 in our diet. And so that's why I talked about the supplementation. You know, what I really tried to highlight are the things that across the board, we're not seeing absorbed in our food and our routines. And so, you know, if there's a way to get it from the diet, that's always something I talk about. But the reason we highlighted K2 supplementation is that it's really a good one to get in the quantity where it's effective, which is like 150 micrograms. And we specialize that in that the dose that's bundled with the D3. And so essentially to answer your question, the goal is to supplement, even if medications are decreasing our ability to absorb them, by overload, you know, giving the body more than it helps with our utilization.
Does omega-7 help the heart in any way?
Omega-7s. So really there are functions of omega-6 and omega-9s. You know, other types of omegas serve roles in the body, but the reality is that we're getting all these different types of fatty acids in much higher quantity than our body needs. Omega-3 tends to be the only one that we're not getting in the right quantity, unless we live in those blue zones throughout the world where people are naturally incorporating more of those foods in their diet. And so I would say that I'm not as familiar with the role of vitamin or omega-7's role in cardiovascular health.
It's fine. Natural remedy recommendation for adult heart murmur. Hi, Christy. Sorry you're dealing with that.
Could you repeat the question?
Heart murmur. Any natural remedies for heart murmur?
Yeah. So when it comes to heart murmurs, this one is, I'd like to defer to the cardiologist, right? Because
Absolutely.
We have so many different types of heart murmurs, and some can be very benign and some our body can adapt to, and some really do require medical expertise to evaluate and talk about management. So I think that those are good ones to check in with the cardiologist about.
Okay, Jim had a heart attack and a stent put into his artery. Cardiologist says he needs to stay on statin drugs since the stent. All my blood lipid panels are normal. Can I get off statin safely? That is such a cardiologist question and absolutely not appropriately to be answered here in this arena, but we love you and we're glad that you're doing so well, but that's like beyond the scope. It wouldn't be appropriate for us to answer that question because it's your freaking heart. And it's so individualized that we love you, Jim. Okay, Christy, can you take spore probiotics if you have had C. diff?
So that's a really great question, right? Because spore biotics are not always talked about when we are talking with our gastroenterologist or our family providers that are diagnosing the C. diff. The reality is that it's helpful to know the timing of when the diagnosis occurred and, you know, how the C. diff was originally mitigated, what type of treatment you had. There's a lot of factors that go into those precise decision making. But I would say if someone that has an active C. diff infection probably doesn't want to start any type of probiotic without talking with their provider.
Absolutely. Most providers aren't going to, you know, in your mainstream gastro are probably not going to know about it. That's not what they learned in school unless they're like functional. So just keep that in mind. I'm sorry. I hope you're doing really well. Just like with Jim with his heart. I mean, these are serious conditions and I love that you're getting more exposure to other ideas, but work with your providers. Also with Crohn's, we tend to have issues with high fiber. And would you suggest gram dosage for someone with Crohn's? Again,
Yeah.
got to go easy on the specificity here, but go ahead. Any ideas for Christy?
Yeah, this is a really important one, right? Because Crohn's patients can present really differently. There's some Crohn's patients that are going to have more diarrhea, and some Crohn's patients that will have constipation, and some that will vary between the two. And as we talked about just briefly, soluble fiber and insoluble fiber both work kind of differently in the body. So we think of soluble fiber because they're absorbed by those fluids. They do help to slow the motility down for someone that has more rapid movements, whereas insoluble fiber, because they're not digested, they bulk up the stool and they sometimes slow things down.
And Christie's has more constipation right now. I just want to add something about fiber is that, everything you said was so important in the presentation and just now, but it's kind of like we have to be very individualized, right? Just like saying fermented foods is for everyone. It is not. If you have SIBO, doing a fermented food is going to be a nightmare for you. You're already fermenting way too much. And so I just want to really encourage you not to pay too much attention to the television commercials that are like, you need this amount of fiber. Here's Metamucil. I mean, that is a very easy to fall in pit that will lead to a lot of unfortunate symptoms for some people. It's so just like proceed with caution and go slow, low and slow, because I know what it's like. Oh, fiber's supposed to be good. I mean, supposed to be good for you. The most pain I've ever had in my body, the to the point of where ever was after doing a dose of fiber, thinking I was doing myself a favor. The gas pain had me on the floor in the bathroom praying at the top of my lungs for God to help me. So, like, I felt like Sigourney Weaver and the alien was coming out of me. So, this
Yeah, this, thank you for bringing that up, because really the role of why we like microbiome labs is that we work with providers that are familiar with when to incorporate each of these products. And so really the benefit of having precision medicine providers or functional medicine providers that are thinking about the root cause of our symptoms are helping us to figure out when should we be incorporating these products.
So just it's obnoxious though, right? Because you're like, I want to be well now, right? I'm with you 1,000%. So just a little goes a long way, inch by inch. It's a sense there's a resilience and a special energy you need to have when you're trying to figure these chronic conditions out. My company's called Chronic Condition Rescue because I had so many things wrong with me working in a moldy building for 20 years, food poisoning at 5, and on and on and on. And so I know what it's like to be totally frustrated because it's not moving fast enough, but I also know what it's like when I overcorrected or thought I was overcorrecting and just made something worse. So hang in there. Okay. I read that too much omega-3 can cause a stroke. What is your opinion of that?
So really, recommendations would far exceed what a standard intake would include, which is like over 5 grams a day might be considered to be of risk. But most people, if you can do a calculation using a tool like MyFitnessPal or Chronometer and get an idea of what your dietary intake is, and then think about what supplementing, with just 1 gram might look like as far as getting your overall intake. But it's always helpful to check in with a tool like that where you can see what you're getting already in your diet.
Microbiome lab supplements, are they organic, non-GMO?
Yeah, so microbiome labs products go through a series of very rigorous testing. As I mentioned, there's all sorts of 400 different contaminants that are tested. Each individual product comes with different protocols in which they mandate. So the oligosaccharides, for example, are non-GMO that we talked about.
One thing I love about microbiome labs is that they research their own products. A lot of people create white label products. I should say they package other people's creations of products. This is a manufacturer who actually does research on their own. And so I think you're in really good hands here. This is one of the reasons why. Not only are they great educators and great to work with, and I love their are the mission that they're on because it's so aligned with mine. Just it's not just a random go to Amazon and buy something supplement because I've heard it was good, or oh, I need D3. So you're really getting high quality here. Diane says, hi, you mentioned blood sugar regulation. Will you provide a would you please elaborate on how regulation of blood sugar is improved when implementing these things for cardio health?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because I know we didn't have enough time to go into it in great detail. But we know that diabetes, for example, increases our risk factors for all of these heart conditions significantly. There's over a double increase for risk for stroke and heart attack when we have diabetes. And so when we talk about blood glucose regulation, what we're really trying to do is reduce the risk for that development of the diabetes mellitus or type 2 diabetes that we all are aware of. But additionally, there seems to be these incremental risks that increase as our blood sugar becomes more unstable. And so really what we're trying to do is prevent that sequelae of symptoms that develop when our blood glucose is irregular or unregulated for a period of time, to the point that our pancreatic cells are suffering and our body develops diabetes subsequently.
What supplements do you recommend for someone with H. pylori and opportunistic autoimmune bacteria?
That's a great one. Microbiome Labs has a great product called PyloGuard, which I use in my patients that have H. pylori.
So it's called PyloGuard. It's right there in the Microbiome Labs site. And then what about for autoimmune issues?
Yeah, for autoimmune conditions, what most of us are aware of is that autoimmune tends to be associated with this increased inflammatory state in the body, where all of our cytokines, those inflammatory markers, are elevated and circulating in higher quantities throughout our bloodstream. And so it's like a fire in our body when we have an autoimmune condition. And what we're trying to do is suppress that inflammatory response. So one of the first things I always use with autoimmune patients is thinking about the role for those omega-3s, because we talked about it, about their role in reducing those inflammatory cytokines and reducing the general inflammation in the body. And so that's my top product for autoimmune patients.
Which one is it?
The Mega Marine is the omega-3 product.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mega Marine. All right. Very cool. All right. Okay. What else do we have? We have a heart out today in just a few minutes. So we have a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up. Is PolyGuard typically good enough alone or always in tandem with antibiotic use?
I think that's a good one to talk about with your provider, because, you know, every patient's experience is going to be different depending on their symptoms.
Depends how much H. pylori you would have in your system. Hi, do these products work alongside with HCL support and digestive enzymes, or do they replace them? Nope, they do not replace them. They are totally different. They are a complement to that. It's a great question. Hey, Diane. Yeah, it's a complement to that. They really do different things in the body, but here's your chance to save 15%, and that's on the entire site. And also, we talked about a couple of other things. For those of you who are here live, and if you're watching the recording, thank you so much for being here. Petunia and I and Maureen wish you the best of health. And we so appreciate you taking the time and the commitment to your ongoing learning and your commitment to being well for yourself. And I know it's frustrating and you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get better. Somebody of you may be thinking that. Know that your body loves homeostasis. Somebody said something to me the other day, I just want to share because I'm trying to reinforce it in myself, and I want to share it with you all as well, which was to really treat your mind, like treat your body with your mindset as being very loving and very compassionate. So I was saying something I was frustrated about, and she's like, whoa, 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 wait. Your body is here to be well, and maybe there's something to learn from this situation. What is your intuition telling you? You know, like, what is it when you're quiet and still that this situation in your body is communicating to you? And I, you know, I was like, like, no one wants to hear that. Let's face it. Just give me a pill. Give me a probiotic. And I did take that to heart and have been speaking differently to myself And it's really been lovely. And it's really been very, very healing. And there are many times when I hear my intuition in the past and I've blown it off about, like, hey, grab that bottle of Megaspore, like right now, do it now, instead of like, oh, I'll do it later in the day. And then you go to sleep and you forget it. Whatever it is, just like really being quiet, meditating, and tuning in actively throughout the day to what your body is saying. I just wanted to give you some food for thought on that. Just an idea. Okay. Somebody wants the link. Here it is. Let me give that to you. And then don't forget, you use code NOBLOAT15 for 15% off. There you go. And you have to use the patient direct code. And if you go to that link, it's preloaded. Patient direct code is SIBO SOS. SIBO. I don't think there's a space SOS. Okay. Thanks, Maureen. It was great working with you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, and I enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. We loved hearing from you and love learning from you. Where do you go to buy the supplements? They're right there. Just put it in the chat. I just put it in the chat. Thank you both. Anna's saying and Diana's saying thank you. Yeah, put some love into the chat for Maureen and definitely give yourself a hug for showing up for yourself because you deserve it. You deserve to be well. You're also teaching other people in your life how to treat you by taking good care of you and setting an example for those around you. So, with that being said, also teach those that you know and love or will listen to you about what you learned today, because that way we can all heal the planet together. Okay, thanks. See you next time. Thanks very
Thanks.
much. We'll send out the recording tonight. The patient, what is the patient access code for? When you go to Microbiome Labs, there's going to be a little thing right there that says, I'll actually share it with you. I'll share it with you. All right, Maureen, go do your meeting. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Thanks. Okay, so here's what it looks like when you click the link. I'm going to share my screen. It's right there. There you go. It's first name, last name, email address, phone number, password, confirm password. And then you see down here, patient direct code right there towards the bottom of my screen. And that's where you would put SIBO SOS if it doesn't auto-populate. And then when you're checking out, you would do no bloat 15 for the discount. So that's what it meant. All right, we'll catch you next time. Bye. Oh, can you recommend a methylation test? Definitely go to SNP Nutrigenomics, SNP, and check out what they have. We're going to be doing a presentation with them later on in the month, and they are great at that. Okay, bye everyone. Come on now. There you go. Thanks. See you next time.